Hello, welcome to You Haven't Blanked That. I'm Forrest.
And this is Jimmy.
To You Haven't Blanked That, and we're going to talk about Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban movie. Forrest, how'd you like the movie?
Well, this is the one I saw in theaters, but when I say I saw in theaters, I actually saw little of it and fell asleep.
You fell asleep in the movie theaters to this movie?
Yeah, I didn't give a fuck.
Was it like late at night, or was it like a matinee and you're like...
It was afternoon.
Okay.
And I've seen this on TV.
Oh, also. Please tell me that you, when you're at the movie theaters, you were just snoring.
I do, so probably.
Cool. Was it like opening day, opening week?
Maybe week.
Interesting. Okay,
cool. I don't know when it came out, but I remember going to see it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anything from it.
So, now that you've seen the movie, what do you think of the film visually?
It looks much better. But what? I also found out, okay, so we were wrong. There aren't two directors, there's three. Okay. This is Alfonso Cuarón.
Okay.
So there's three, and then David Yates takes over from four on.
The visual of the castle
looks better, yeah. Everything looks better.
It's just pretty much stay the same.
Okay.
They perfected like the look of the school.
I like how the Dursley aunt is a bigger piece of shit than the Dursleys.
Oh, right, dude. Like... Oh, crap. In the book, she refers to Harry's mom as a bitch. Does she do it in the movie?
Well, she does it as an allusion to dogs.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
She doesn't, like, fly out like, oh, what a bitch. She's just like she doesn't like, that bitch. No, but she's... Like she
the spoiled of the bitch is rotten and the pups are rotten.
Yeah. Going with my theory from the book, they completely took all that stuff that I felt that they, you know, making an allusion to being gay. They just say, oh, the aunt's coming over. They don't say, don't do magic to the aunt. They just kind of skim over like, the aunt's walking in.
Yeah, you know, because in the book, it's like, what is it? They make him say that he's, like, going to a finishing school.
Just like a reform school. That
he hams it up, too. He's like, oh, I'm so dumb. I'm so bad. Like,
yeah.
Oh, they beat me good.
In the book, the aunt blowing up seemed like it was way more chaotic than in the movie.
The magic, though, looks way better.
Effects are the last thing that bothered me in a movie.
Okay.
No, it's a movie. Like, sometimes they don't... Maybe that's why I like a lot of the Marvel movies, is that they just waited to make a lot of them. Uh-huh. Like, I'm happy a lot of these were never made until they were made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? X-Men, they were able to get away with in the 90s, but I don't think what they've done with Captain America and the Avengers, mm-hmm. They tried making a Captain America movie in the
80s. It was bad.
80s?
Yeah.
80s. Anyway. So, or I mean, 70s? It's just... It was... I think they made two of them also. Yeah. I think there's a second one. I'm happy for them to wait sometimes, but it's like the last thing I'm going to bitch about in a movie.
Yeah. So, in your theory that this story, is a allegory for gay people...
Not for gay people, like, for being gay, for like, you know.
For being gay.
For being gay.
So, you think they took away those aspects
in
this movie?
I'm going to say this is what I...
Because it still has the same elements you're talking to, like, yeah, they don't want...
But I feel like a lot of substance is taken out a lot.
Oh, you think... Because the gay, right, the Dursleys are a lot crueler about... Shut your mouth about the magic. Don't ever do it. Don't even bring it up.
And like, yeah. Like, as you go back and think about all this, too, like, that's how they are. But, like...
But in the movie, it's very... Yeah, they do kind of ease up on the Dursleys. Because, like, you could easily just...
Can make them completely volatile.
Yeah, and then it kind
and
of...
And they're not completely volatile.
Yeah.
Based off the Dursley in the first book to the third book, where he's like, oh, I might sign your permission slip if you do this, like, the Dursley should have been like, fuck your permission slip. He should have ripped it up in front of Harry's face. He should have been like, fuck your permission
slip. Oh, that would have been so good. Just been like, use your magic to put it back together.
But you figured, like, why not forge a signature if you're gonna, like...
Yeah, they don't know what the fuck if Dursley's signature is.
Yeah, and I mean, seriously, like, Harry's not dumb. You could easily ask, like, George or, like, you know, Fred, who have obviously done some, like, shitty stuff, to just do it for him. It's so dumb.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out. There's a couple things I actually like in the movie more than the book. They use humor much better. The timing with the humor is much better in this movie than it was in the previous movies.
Yes.
I mean, I like that he's walking through, after he has the aunt blow up and she's flying, floating through the air, he's walking to where, you know, he accidentally calls the night bus, but you still see her floating through the air and she's still screaming. And I was like, oh, that was well placed. Yeah. The whole night bus scene was great. Just the whole shrunken head that's got the Jamaican voice him. I mean, it's kind of, you know, cookie cutter Warner Brothers stuff. And his face against the mirror or the window.
It's going so quick.
And it, you know, going slim so it can go through between the two cars. Like, it's, and the, him even waiting for the night bus was exactly how I pictured it. Like, they did a good job.
You know
what? I felt it was a different, I mean, there was a different vibe in the movie than there was in the first two.
I feel like when they made these movies, they put more heart into it. Because
the
newer, see,
the, after like this one and going forward.
Yeah. You see in the background of the Leaky Cauldron, like, brooms sweeping up by themselves. Yeah. I mean, like, there's more touches that, like, there is a magical world going on.
It kind of made me realize that watching this, like, Chris Columbus kind of makes sloppy movies. Gremlins is a good flick.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of put together weird in some places.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Home Alone, not a bad movie, but still kind of put together weird
in some places. A little slapdash.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that works on some things, but when you're that far into your career, like, I think you can get away with it up through Home Alone. It's like Gremlins was his first movie.
Uh-huh.
It's not a perfect movie. It's a good movie.
It's a great movie, but it's
not a perfect horror flick.
Watching it back on Gremlins, it's weird, because, like, certain scenes are very, like, theatrically staged. Yeah. It's just, like, weird. Like, that house that they live in seems like a play rather than, like, a movie house. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was also 1983.
Yeah,
81, 83. Yeah. So, I mean, he had been doing it at that point. He'd been doing it for a while, but he also made... Did he do Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yeah, I think we talked about this before. Yeah, he did do Mrs. Doubtfire.
It wouldn't have been that far along if he did the first Harry Potter movie in 1999, 2000. Watching some of this stuff at the beginning, though, like, I legitimately fell asleep during this movie because I remember nothing except for the werewolf and, like, where it ends in the dark woods. But I legitimately didn't remember any of the movie, for the most part.
Hermione hits Malfoy in this movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just... You keep bringing up that Trelawney stuff comes true in some parts, like you were saying in the book. Like,
oh, yeah, certain parts comes true, but it's like...
Yeah, well, you can kind of read the room if you know who Harry Potter is.
Yeah. She's a very... I don't know, like, in the book...
Is she still in the books going forward?
Yeah, she's in the books.
Okay.
For a magical school, you figure divination should be a huge thing, and nobody gives a shit about it. So It's like, even Trelawney is just a bad thing. And I feel like Dumbledore keeps her there just to, like, keep those ideas of who she is, like, when she does have these moments of, like, clarity in her, like, premonitions, he could keep those secrets to himself.
I mean...
What do you think of the Hippogriff visually to...
I saw one before at Universal. Okay. They have, like, an animatronic one that's hanging out in a nest.
Oh, does it look the same way?
Yeah, it looks the same way. When Harry was riding the Hippogriff, though, why does he play I'm King of the Wizarding World and...
The arms stretched out.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. This is the movie with the stupid ending, right?
Where he's flying on the broom?
And it does that pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the dumbest ending I've ever seen.
They put some things out of order in this movie. That whole part with him getting the broom, he gets the broom, like, halfway through the book.
Yeah, it comes in through the owl, drops it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they keep bringing things up that Harry can do, but they never talk about him again. Like, there's no mention of Parseltongue.
It'll come into the later books, but yeah, it's
one of those. I feel it's one of those things that if you're...
Especially since he set, like, the school freaked out and, like, shunned him for it before. No one's really kind of...
But they hardly shunned him in that book. Like, you hardly get the idea that they shunned him. The other thing that bothered me is that when he, as he was having those panic attacks, or they're supposed to be panic attacks, like when the Dementors come and he passes out.
Oh, yeah.
First you hear someone screaming, and then you hear, it's like in the book, you hear someone screaming, and then as it's putting more pieces together as his parents' murder. Like, yeah. They keep doing that. I felt like they cheated the movie out of that.
They did. And then I believe in the movie, it sounds like a train horn, right?
Well, no.
Then the train horn turns into a scream. When Harry's in class for the Bogart lessons, Lupin stops him. Because then Harry has this, like, moment of, like, oh, I'm not good enough. And, like, how dare he, like, think I'm not strong enough to, like, fight it. Lupin thought it was going to be Voldemort. But he was supposed to have another panic attack somewhere else, right? Harry has, like, 3 encounters with the Dementors.
In the book, there's, like, 3 or 4.
Yeah.
I mean, not including... There's 3 or 4...
In the movies, there's only, like, a couple.
There's 3 or 4 in the book, not including the one at the end.
And then this one has 2, and then the last one.
The one at the end, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's in the book, it's cool, because, like, you do, like...
Harry
knows at the, like, the last time he sees the Dementors, that that's his parents' voice. And then he has that memory back now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, so, like, I feel that's a cool thing to have. And, like, yeah, story-wise for the movie, they just chop it right out. And, like, it's like...
Yeah.
You don't need it. I'm like...
But no, you do.
Yeah, you do. That's how he develops, but...
Maybe they felt like you'd already had a bond with the character, but I'm still not... I don't feel like I have that bond yet.
Movie-wise, or you don't have that bond book-wise?
Both, at this point.
Okay.
I'm not like, this is horrible. I'm into it, because I'm still reading them.
Yeah, I feel like Harry's not the main character.
Okay, who would you feel the main character is?
I feel like the world is the main character.
Mm.
Because Harry is bumbling his way through the whole thing, but the world...
Well, then...
I only say that because J.K. Rowling planned everything from the beginning to the end. So she knows how it's going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's just Harry going through the world.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's the way I see it. Because the thing is, like...
But then if Harry's going through the world, the main character is Harry.
No. Harry is... you're probably right. The world's the main character, and then Harry...
A lot of the movies take out all the darker elements for the kids... But if they can handle reading them, why can't they handle seeing them?
Like the Dementors? The Dementors are basically creepy as fuck.
Yeah, but, like, you know, there's a lot of the darker things that happen. Like, you know, the petrifying the kids, they kind of just show them a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, from the last book. You know, the Hanging Cat, that was pretty dark. You know, I feel like there's things that are darker in this book that they just kind of skip over.
I'm going to be talking a lot about visuals. Because okay. This book, this movie is visually my favorite movie.
Okay.
Like, what did you think of the representation of the Marauder's Map?
Oh, how you can kind of look at it and see people walking around?
Yeah. Is that kind of how you thought it would be?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen something like that. Maybe it's one of those things I saw in passing.
Probably, yeah. Especially because if you were down at the Universal Studios.
Well, I don't think they had it at Universal, but this is one of the ones that Lisa watches on TV. Uh-huh. Like I said, they Freeform will just have a Harry Potter. It's Thursday. Let's have a Harry Potter marathon. Okay. And so she just, if it's on, she'll just have it on in the background and she'll watch them all.
FYI. At the very end of this movie, when they're doing the credits, you know, it shows the Marauder's Map and it's showing the school and the credits and blah, blah, blah. On the bottom left-hand corner in one of these scenes, there's 2 students, like, fucking. One, like, you know how you see the footprints of the shoes, right?
Okay.
And they're, like, walking and you can see them, whatever. There's 2 students tucked away in the corner, and one's got their legs spread wide open, and the other one's got their legs right in the middle, and they're just right on top of each other.
I don't buy it.
I will show you later. It's in there. Also, side note, in the map, when you're watching it through the school, there's a little name ribbon that says Newt Scamander. Newt Scamander is the character in the Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, yes.
So it's just like a cool little nod that, like, he's there because he writes one of the books.
Yeah. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yep.
I knew they go back in time, but I just didn't know which one they go back in time in. Like, I know which book.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or which story it was.
Yeah.
Not knowing that they were going to execute Buckbeak. Like, I didn't know. I had no context of what it was. Having seen that part and just walking past the TV, I thought for whatever reason they were trying to save Hagrid. I don't know why.
I can see that because they're always in his cabin.
Yeah, and I thought they were going to execute Hagrid for whatever reason. And that's why I was like, oh, they're fucking killing people on campus. That's where I kind of got that, where I was just like, oh, this is dark. You're just going to let that mess happen?
So let's talk about the movie itself, because it's a time travel movie.
But it's not a time travel movie until 20 minutes in. Well, okay. Well, you can argue that, but...
Okay, so with that in mind, visually, what do you think of the clues in the time travel movie thing? Because it's... They're there. You see certain things. But at the end, like...
What things that maybe that I missed?
Okay, so... We're all believed the first go around that the hippogriff is like murdered, and you see the visuals by the sound of the wood chop, and then the crows flying away.
Yeah,
and then like so you just assume that it's happened, and then because the way that this world, the time travel works,
you'll see it.
You'll see it. Especially you never see the characters doubled up in the scene, but you hear the chop. You see the birds. And then later on, you find out that chopping the birds happened because the executioner was mad.
Yeah.
And, like, there was no hippogriff. So, like, technically, the hippogriff never died. You know what I mean? And there's, like, little clues here and there, like, of, like, different things where the time travels are happening. Like, Hermione disappearing and popping up. And, like, you don't really notice it as much, but she does, like, disappear, like, in certain, like, moments.
Oh, one thing I will say, going back to Trelawney for a second. Uh-huh. When her voice changes, which I thought was weird because they just kind of throw that dark dude voice. It sounded like a Deadite voice to me.
Oh, really?
I kind of got this. I was like, oh, that's a cool Deadite voice.
That's cool.
So I was just like, oh, I wonder if he, that's what it was. Like, that was intentional. Because it sounded very Deadite-ish to me.
She has a cool look to her with those big old thick glasses and her hair. She looked exactly how I thought she would in the book.
When I rewatched it, I felt like Gary Oldman was in the movie a lot more. But I also realized I fell asleep through most of the movie. So I probably only saw it with Gary Oldman in it.
What'd you think of all the posters of Sirius Black everywhere?
I was making fun of those Facebook pictures because they do those on some of the Facebook pictures now where you can make them do that. Oh. So I'm like, so I was calling it because I've seen those before when I saw this. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, so it's those Harry Potter pictures.
Actually, I kind of want to do that to my Facebook page now.
I feel like there's more tension in this book than there was in the others. If you notice, I haven't bitched about the tension.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Because I, as much as I bitched about the tension in the first two books, I felt like there could have been more, but I think they did. It was fine. Yeah. Like it was more adequate than I felt than the other ones were.
Visually, the story of Peter Pettigrew was a little more cheated in this one. You know what I mean? Because Scabbers is gone in the book. It would have been better to see more of Scabbers in the first two movies. To kind of give you that whole sense that like he is like always around.
I'm liking the books each more, as you, like I was saying with each book. As I'm liking them a little bit more. I find something I like about the writing more. Uh-huh. Like I said, most of my gripes about the book are the way things are placed and the mechanics of it, which I'm sure there's going to be a lot of payoff eventually. But I only feel like a fraction of that amount with each movie I see.
Okay.
I feel like I said, the movies cut out so much stuff that there's no substance.
Yeah, because they do cut out a lot of things. And then, you're asking a lot for these kids to convey all these emotions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some of them aren't that great. Most people are referring to the books and their love for the characters in the books to cover up, like, the holes in the children's acting.
I think people like the last three books when they... more like the four or five, maybe the last four books then four or five, six and seven, and they kind of give the other three a pass.
True. Like I think so, we're getting to the point where like the stories are just like kicking off, like
this so is, like, then good... Why do you feel people will do that for Harry Potter but they wouldn't do it for like Star Wars? Like we don't like this, the prequels.
That's because if we want to get into the prequels, we'll get in them. But I'm just simply saying, like, the prequels, they're just bad.
But I didn't think the first two movies were
bad. You know what? The movies, the stories themselves are not bad. They're okay. Two and three are cool. One is just terrible. I feel like it's just not the same world because it's more CGI'd everything else. And I feel like that part of it pulls me right out of the story.
Okay.
Where everything's practical effects and it's better. Like, what's the new Star Wars movie?
Force Awakens.
Visually, I loved it. Because it was cool, because it's back to practical effects. Mm-hmm. Where, like, everything else was not. Force Awakens, it's all practical effects. So going back to the way it should have been doing. And that's about a lot of details. A lot of, like, making things come out as real as possible. Where the prequels were like, this is the story we want to say, and we want to say as cheaply as possible. Let's CGI it. You know what I mean? And then with the Harry Potter books, these books have gotten better because there's more details in them. There's more stuff that they're putting into these movies to give it more of a real thing. Like, the what I love about Blade Runner is that it's a great movie with a great story, and the world itself looks lived in. You know what I mean? And yeah. That's what makes it better, because all the little details that they put into it. With starting with this movie on going onwards, there's way more detail into everything that's going on. You see, even looking in the background, you see way more stuff leading to certain things. And then, like, there's something I want to mention to you in this, but I can't until we get into other stories.
Okay.
There's clues, like, sprinkled out throughout the whole book that tie into other books that you don't really see yet, because we're not there yet and you won't see them. There's a lot more things, especially, like, Sirius's Black's, his tattoos. They're all real, like, protection and warding symbols. Okay. I mean, and he has them written all over his body. Like, that's not mentioned in the book, but, like, no. You know, but it gives more texture. This is being a more lived-in, real thing. And that's what I like about this, because the more people put into something, the more I'm going to respect it and keep going forward. Where the other twos were very... If you were to compare the first movie and this movie, it seems like two different worlds. One looks way more wholesome and cleaner, and this one doesn't.
You keep saying, you're talking about how you said it's a time travel movie.
It is a time travel movie.
I don't think it's a time travel movie. I just think they just use that element. If it was the whole thing, if they were time traveling throughout the whole movie.
Hermione was.
Yeah, but that's not the main character.
I believe the world is the main character.
No, Jimmy. No, like, one character was using time travel.
Yeah, with the time turner, but at the same... Yeah, I guess so. I refer to it as a time travel movie because there is a device that pulls the main character back in time.
But for, like, 5 minutes.
Doesn't matter. He went back in time.
But it's not like Back to the Future where he went back in time for a whole movie. They use
time travel. He went back in time for half a movie.
He didn't go back in time for half the movie. It's not half the movie.
It's half the movie.
It's not half the movie.
Well, it's one third of the movie.
It's not even a third of the movie.
How far? What part does he go back in time? Halfway through the movie.
He doesn't go back halfway through the movie. About three-fourths of the movie is when you find out that they're friends, and that everybody was friends and using and turning into animals.
I don't think...
They skim over the thing, and that is something I feel like...
Which is dumb, too, because, like, they're the... That's the reason they have the map. Why even have the map?
Well, that's why they have the map, and that should be the driving...
Because I think in the movie, you never find out Prongs is James. Only just by deduction.
Yeah, they didn't say who was who.
You know what I mean? Because...
They didn't even say the entire out loud. You kind of see them on the map. I don't think
it's them out loud. Wormtail is obviously Peter Pettigrew. Yeah. Prongs is James.
Yeah.
And then Padfoot is Sirius. And what was
Lupin? And Lupin was the wolf. Whatever the wolf was.
I forgot what it was. But yeah. Shit, they don't mention it in the movie.
No, and that's something...
If wow, that's so dumb. Why even mention it then? Oh, you know what? They do say it when Snape is patrolling the halls. And he catches
But it back. Says it on the... Yeah, but you don't know who...
Snape reads it.
He reads it, but you don't know who they are. Yeah. They don't connect those dots for you.
Yeah.
If you read the book, yeah. If I hadn't read the book, like, a week before that...
Yeah, if I just took my kids to go see this movie, they're getting it. Yeah. But I would have no clue that, like, who these people are. It's just weird names being...
That's so dumb. In the traditional definition of a time travel movie, it's not... I don't feel it's a time travel movie.
Is there a time travel device? Does the main character go back in time?
Oh, for what?
Suck a dick. I refer to it as a time travel movie because the main character does go back in time. If Hermione herself did it and that was what it was, then I wouldn't refer to it.
Okay. Is Wayne's World 1 a time travel movie? Given the ending of the movie?
No, there's no time travel device.
There isn't.
Oh shit! They're wizards?
No, they're not wizards.
They're wizards.
In theory, this is how we're gonna end the movie. We're gonna go back and is Wayne's World based off of your theory? What you just told me?
There is a time travel device, the time turner. Hermione literally physically has to throw it over Harry, so they're both the thing.
No, they turn it
three times. Because three should be enough, and maybe two lives will be saved this night.
But there's a device.
I was Albus Dumbledore in that scenario. Go ahead.
But based off of your theory of what you're saying, Is Wayne's World a time travel movie?
No, finger doodles are not.
Why is that not a
device? Because it's not a device.
Why is it a device?
Define the device for me.
You define device for me because you're the one who keeps saying time travel device.
A device is any mechanical object used to create or do a function of some sort.
A hands can't be those objects?
It's not a device.
Why?
Because it's not a mechanical object.
I'm waving my fingers right
now. You're waving your phalanges around like a fool. I get it. No, it is a time travel movie. I'm going to refer to it as a time travel
Wayne's
movie.
World?
Yeah. Wayne's World is now a time travel movie. You're welcome.
It's not like Austin Powers where he goes back in time in the second one.
In that one, they go back in time.
But that, he goes
in
back
the third, in the third one, they go back in time for 5 minutes and they come back to the future.
No, I wouldn't consider the third one a time travel movie. I'll say the first two are.
Okay.
Because they go back
in time. Fine. It's not a time travel movie. I agree with you. Because it wouldn't be. Because I don't consider 3 to be a time travel movie. Okay, fine. You ruined my movie.
Yeah, that's just, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I get it.
If you're using...
you're right. It's not a time travel movie. The fact that... I even destroyed my own logic by the third... Austin Powers movies, because I don't consider that a time travel movie. I don't use Futurama as a time travel movie, time travel show, even though it is.
That's more fish out of water than anything.
That's
fish out of water.
Well, he does travel, he's a fish out of water, but he does travel from the past to the
future.
From the future to the past.
Past to the future.
Future to the past. Because when Nibbler, then you find out Nibbler is the one who kicked him over, he's there to witness it when he's watching the brains.
Oh. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But yeah, I don't consider it a time travel show.
Yeah.
But
so,
anyways,
but yeah. Anyway, so here's one thing that gets me about the ending though. So at the end of the movie, they walk in. So they disappear. Okay, so they walk into the infirmary, right? At the end of the movie.
Oh, okay,
they walk in and they just make it. Yeah, before he no he because he tells them okay in the timeline of the movie.
Yeah.
In theory, he tells them, "Oh, use the time thing. Use 3 clicks.
Yeah, 3 turns.
And I can." He's like, "I only give you this.
2 lives shall be saved."
As he's walking out, that Hermione and Harry are walking up. He's like, "Oh, we did it." And he's like, "Did what?" And he just walks out.
Winky.
He doesn't wink at him.
He doesn't wink?
No, he just is like, "What are you talking about?"
Well, the way he says it irritates the shit out of me, too. Whatever do you mean? Or whatever bullshit. He's got this airiness to him.
Then they walk in. So then they walk in the room. As soon as he's like, they disappear. And then they walk in.
And then Ron's like, "Weren't you?"
Yeah. And then so they're like, "What are you talking about?" So here's how Ron Weasley's night went. Ron Weasley,
okay,
follows his friend who has this knack for getting into trouble,
right,
to a dark forest. Which I don't know why these fuckers keep going into dark forest. Horrible shit happens to them whenever they go in there.
Yeah,
he breaks his fucking leg.
Right. He finds out his pet is a pedophile who molested him. Go ahead.
And his teacher, that, like, the only teacher they speak highly of, is a fucking werewolf.
Yeah, holy crap, it's a bad night for Ron.
Yeah. And on top of that, he walks in, and his fucking friends gaslight him into thinking that nothing happened.
Oh, poor Ron. Oh, that's really shitty. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
In the book, it's different, though.
No, it's different in the book, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, because remember, like, Ron's out.
Oh, that's right.
He's asleep.
He's knocked out, and they're just like...
There's no gag, like, "Weren't you there? I just saw you come from..." You know what I mean?
No, that's right.
Yeah, he's knocked out. Yeah, so, like, nobody knows. But also, in the book, it's more tension, too, because Cornelius Fudge is there. And then...
He's there for the execution, too.
No, but remember, like, he's there checking on the kids.
Oh, yeah.
So they're cool, and they're about to go up to see Sirius and take him back to Azkaban.
Yeah.
And then they lock... Dumbledore's like, "I'll be right with you. I just want to say something to the kids." And then, like, he tells them to go back in time, and they're supposed to lock the door. That way there's proof that they didn't escape and help Sirius, because they're in supervision at all time. Yeah, they didn't do that in the movie, because, like, Cornelius Fudge is just in the beginning of the movie, right? He's not in...
He's at this part, too. Oh, maybe... No.
He's with Hagrid,
but that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking sloppy storytelling.
Oh. Well, I guess we're done.
But it's because they're trying to clean it up, but, like, why not have him there? It's just an actor for, like, what? If you're going to film that scene, it'll probably be 4 hours tops, and he's out, because they're just doing that moment.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, he's at the beginning, too. He's at the Leaky Cauldron at the beginning.
No, but I'm saying, like, you could just add 4 more hours to his schedule and just add that scene at the very end. You know what I mean? Like, what is it? I mean, his costume is what, a suit? Mm-hmm. And a cloak? So dumb.
That's my beef with a lot of this, is that I feel like there's a lot of setup and not a lot of follow-through.
Yeah, that kind of bugs me now.
And that's what I'm saying, like, whatever substance the books have, and I say whatever, as in, like, I feel like they do the same thing in the books, though.
Yeah, but you know what? Like I was telling you before, the first book was the closest to...
No, you're right. No, you're right about that.
And then as we go along, stuff is starting to get cut. And then...
And I get that you have to cut things, but...
It's the wrong things.
I feel like they're cutting the wrong things out.
Yeah.
This one, less than the last two. But I also feel like there's things that they still cut out that they need. So.
Yeah. Damn it, that's really starting to bug me now.
I'm just saying.
The lack of Cornelius Fudge at that scene is dumb. Like, that he should be there. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously, you're going to go up. Maybe story-wise, they're dealing with Sirius, why Dumbledore's tending to the kids, because why would the Ministry of Magic be there for a werewolf attack? It's bad press. I don't know. That's just me trying to make excuses for the story, but they should be there.
Yeah.
No, but whatever. The Daily Prophet will hear about this. Go ahead. Really? I think we covered pretty much a good chunk of this movie. Visually, I'm all about visuals. I like how the magic has, like, this wispy effect. Remember when they were in the Shrieking Shack?
When they do a spell this time, at least somebody goes flying backwards.
Yeah, you know what? The thing that bugged me, too, is when they have Peter Pettigrew, or when they have Scabbers in his hand, and he's going crazy because he wants to get out of the room because, like, Sirius Black is there, and he's trying to get after him. Like, it was so dumb to just... Visually, I get it for movie-wise, but they take Scabbers, throw them on the ground, and then they're just attacking him on the floor. I mean, that was stupid. You could easily just, like in the book, just wave your wand at him and then just change him back.
Yeah.
But you figured, like... The school itself has so much wardens or detections, and you got powerful, like, wizards there that they should be able to detect, like, a non-student. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the midst. Wouldn't you? Because you're saying at that point, the school's not protected by an MMA guy. So anybody could have just snuck into the castle.
Yeah, well... Yeah, and then,
fucking,
like...
Where are you, Dumbledore? How dare you not think of
and
this?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, how is this still a school? Like, how are we still sending our kids here?
What I miss about the movie is just, like, the castle. The castle is a cool character on its own. And I like how, like, there's different aspects of the map where you can see different passages leading around the castle.
Mm.
And then, what, Felch knows, like, some of them, but he doesn't know all of them. Did they show the witch? The one-eyed witch with the humpback?
Is that this book? Movie?
Yeah, that's in the book. That's where Harry finds, like, he whispers, like, a spell to it, because that's where he, into the cave.
No, they do it in the book. No, they cut a lot of that stuff out of him wandering around.
Because that's where Snape
takes it at one point.
Yeah, because he throws the...
Rather than...
The invisible cloak in there.
Yeah, because
And then Hermione has to go get it later on.
Yeah, they don't have that part in there.
That's kind of shitty, too. Do you like how they kind of mentioned the Weeping Willow? Or the Whomping Willow. There's a tunnel underneath the Whomping Willow. And then Lupin even mentions, like, they planted that when he was a child.
Yeah.
So, like, it was like a young sapling. And that's why they were able to get into it pretty quickly. Now that it's a huge thing, it's like, stay away from it. So why would you have something so dangerous on campus?
I don't know.
This school is just...
Yeah, dude, I'm just like...
Well, now we're just nitpicking.
That's what I'm doing. I've been doing that. We're just starting to do that.
Well, I cannot wait for the next story. That's one of my favorite books. You're going to have to deal with Quidditch again in the next story. It's the Quidditch World Cup. So it's going to be good.
Is that the Quidditch Wizarding World Cup?
It is.
Oh, it's WWC.
WWC?
The QWWC.
Yes. So, okay, cool. Overall, what do you think of the movie?
I guess I'm so... I just feel the movies are a fraction of as good as the books have been. Enjoyable for me. I know everybody loves those movies.
I'm not a huge fan of the movies myself. I like them because it's, like, cool. I can kind of dip into, like, certain parts of it, but
I could... They just take so much out of it that it makes me angry.
Yeah.
Especially going forward. So, this will be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.